Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 23rd day of September 2019. And I'm thrilled to have, for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ryan Glesman, who is brother of Pete Buttigieg's so-called husband and senior pastor of Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan. Today we are going to be addressing the false Christianity of Pete Buttigieg, the charade of claiming Christ as your own while celebrating things Christ hates. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Ryan Glesman.
Yes, Chris, thank you so much. It's my honor and privilege to be here with you this evening to talk. So thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. And am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Glesman, yes. Yeah. You said it correctly.
Great. Well, before we go into your own personal testimony of salvation, which is our tradition here whenever we have a first-time guest, why don't you let our listeners know something more about the Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan?
Yeah, our congregation is actually, I kind of chuckle when I get these questions. I've been doing something different when people ask about our church, and they say, you know, because in today's culture we get, you know, kind of these questions of like, tell me about your church, and what I tell them is, we have over 2 billion people part of our church, and you know my heart behind that, Chris. So you can laugh with me. What I mean by that is the church are God's people. But yes, our local body of believers here in Clio, Michigan, we're part of the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, Bible believing church. No weird Kool Aid. We preach from the Bible. We're a community church. We love God, love people. And that's really in a nutshell what we are. We're part of 2 billion. You know, I know that not all people who claim Christianity are Christians, as we'll probably get into our conversation, but we're just, there's brothers and sisters all over. It doesn't matter what building you attend, the church or the people. So that's who we are here at Community Church of God.
Amen. And if anybody wants more details, hopefully I'll remember to repeat this later, but the website for the Church of God in the Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan, is cliocommunity.org, and that's spelled C-L-I-O, community.org. And as I said, hopefully I'll remember to repeat that again, especially yeah, towards the end of the program. As I said, since you are a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have a tradition when we have a first-time guest, that is if that first-time guest is a Christian, because once in a blue moon we have non-Christians on for one particular reason or another. They have something important to say that even Christians need to hear, even if they are not themselves Christian. But the vast majority of times, we interview Bible-believing, born-again Christians. So tell us a summary of your salvation testimony. What kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances our Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you?
Yeah, well, I thank you for asking that question. I love sharing my testimony. I'm glad you said summary, because I could go into great lengths on this. I was radically transformed by the power of God. But I grew up attending the Catholic Church. Easter and Christmas was kind of the way we grew up. We attended a Catholic Church. We went to the church on Easter and Christmas. That was just what we did. And to be honest, Chris, I really doubted if God even existed growing up. I rebelled greatly against him. I very quickly, as I got into my later years, in my junior year in high, into my senior year in high school, just really rebelled hard against him. I was very much caught up in the partying scene and the life that that brings in that. But I love sports, and growing up playing, I was pretty decent. I'm not being boastful, but I was pretty decent at baseball. And on the baseball team, there was always this friend of mine. I won't bring him into the limelight yet. But there's this friend of mine that I always just thought there was something different about him. I had heard people say they were Christians, but looking back now, he's probably the only Christian I really ever came in, a true Christian, born-again Christian. And he always just shared his faith with me. He always said, there's a better way. Orion, you know, I'm praying for you. God has big plans for me. He always tell me that in his prayers, God always revealed these big plans for me. And I said, well, I'm going to hell and I'm going to have fun doing it. I'm glad it works for you. And he always was in my life throughout sports. Well, fast forward, I went to college. And believe it or not, we played on the same baseball team. I went to Rochester College in Detroit. And honestly, when I went to college, I didn't even know it was a Christian school. That tells you how naive I was and how rebellious. I just wanted to play baseball. They gave me a scholarship to play baseball there, but they told me I had to sign up for a Bible class. And I said, James, what'd you get me into here? And long story short, being at baseball, again, my friend had noticed that I'm still very much caught up in the partying scene and the drinking and the smoking and just my view on life, and he just continued. But one day, really sticks out to me. He said, do you mind meeting me in my dorm room? I really want to talk to you. And he gave me a New Testament Bible. I said, James, you know, I'm glad it worked for you. And just really turned away, but he just shared the gospel with me. And I'm sure people are listening like, wow, did he come to faith then? No, I still didn't come to faith then. I took the Bible he gave me, went after college, and I had moved back to my hometown. And I did a lot of moving, still very much partying and living my life. And throughout the moving, I'd always come across that Bible. Everyone understands when you're packing things up, you come across things that get shoved away. And to be honest with you, Chris, I wanted to throw the Bible away, but something always told me that would be like sin of all sin is what I was thinking at that time. No one can throw the Bible away. So I just kept moving. And there happened to be one day in particular. It was actually September 22nd. Is the day that I opened the Bible that James gave me 10 years later after college. I was just at a part of my life where I was just at a low point. I knew there had to been, I felt like there had to been something more to life than the way I was living. I had a great job, had lots of money at the time for my age. I was doing very well, but just something was just empty. So I said, okay, I'm going to challenge this God that my friend had shared about me. So I went down to my basement, found this New Testament Bible. I said, okay, God, if you're real, like my friend tells me you are and what I hear, if you're real, make this Bible catch on fire. Just do something supernatural, and I will believe in you. So I said, I'm going to open this Bible, and God, I want you to do something that only you can do, and I'll believe in you. So I opened up the Bible, and the very first verse that popped out to me was Matthew 10:33. And I'll paraphrase it, but it reads, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. That was the very first verse my eyes kind of fixated on, and I read it, and nothing happened. I'm like, well, I guess I'm right. I guess God isn't real. Well, in the meantime, my wife at the time, she had a college friend. I was married at the time, and my wife had a college friend from college. My wife's an artist, and he had to come over, and they were doing a project together, and I never met the man in my life. I just knew he was an artist. I didn't know nothing about him. Do you mind if he comes over? We're gonna work on this project. So I said, absolutely, he comes over, and we're having a great conversation, very nice man. And he stops me right in the middle of our conversation. We're having this great conversation. I don't know exactly what we were talking about at the time, but we just had a great conversation, go back and forth. You know, what do? I do this and that. And he said, I don't know what you believe in God. At this point, I had no idea he was even a Christian. Just completely out of the blue, he says, God just told me to tell you something. And God wanted me to tell you, if you deny me by what I'm about to share with you, he will deny you before God. And I said, what did you just say? And he quoted the exact same verse I had read in the
movement.
The exact same verse. I mean, out of over 30,000 verses in the Bible, what's the chances of that, right? And so I share with him, and I didn't even tell my wife I went down Obviously, she knows today. She knows my testimony, but I didn't tell anybody. I went down, read it. So I met this man for the very first time. Didn't even know he was a Christian. And God had revealed to him, and from that moment forward, I fell to my knees. I bawled like a baby. I said, why am I crying? Because at that time, I was this big, rough party kind of guy. I didn't cry for nothing. And I'm sitting here crying, and the Holy Spirit fell upon me in a supernatural way. And from that day forward, I just repented. I probably gave the most messy prayer I've ever prayed in my life. I repented for everything I ever done. I go through a refrigerator. I threw every ounce of alcohol we had in the house, and I threw it all in the garbage. And I just completely changed my life over. I just felt a feeling like I never felt. For the first time, I realized what the message my friend had been sharing all along, that I can be forgiven. I'm not too far gone. That God did have a plan for me. So that very first Sunday after I get saved, I walked into a church down the road. Our local church is actually a First Church of God in St. Joe, Michigan. I walked in the front doors. I shook a bunch of hands, and I said, I told them my testimony. This just happened to me. I'm your guy. What do you want me to do? I'm here to serve. And from that day forward, it's never been the same, and that's still been my heart today. Wherever, whenever, whatever the Lord speaks, I'm obedient to Him. And that's my testimony in a nutshell, radically transformed, and it's never been the same since.
And when did you realize, and how did you realize that God had placed a call upon your life to enter into the ministry?
That was a process of back and forth fighting with God, you'd think, after the supernatural encounter. So I owned a landscaping business, and I really thought that was my ministry. I was hiring people that were maybe they were incarcerated, they couldn't get jobs, and I was hiring them, and I really thought that that was my ministry. And it really was for that period of time. And there's just this, again, this supernatural calling. Lord kept telling me, I want you to lead a church. I want you to lead a church. I said, I didn't grow up in the church. I mean, I went to church twice a year. I was afraid of the Bible. But, I mean, again, to back up a little bit, but after I got saved, I was so hungry for the Word, and still to this day, I just started. I went from hating reading to owning the library. I mean, I couldn't get enough. I still can't get enough. I just started diving in. So to fast forward in my landscaping business, I just kept praying, Lord, whatever, whatever. And He kept telling me, well, you know, we all have been there where we reject the Holy Spirit at times. I finally got to a point where I just gave up. And I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to be a pastor, this has to be on your will. Or on your, you know, you make this so abundantly clear to me, and I'll do it. Well, a church had reached out to me in the, you know, Community Church of God, where I'm at now, actually. And I got an email. And they said, we heard that you might be looking for a church. I never sent a resume to anybody, Chris. I never sent a resume. They they had reached out. They said that obviously I'd share with my lead pastor, but I never sent a resume to anybody. My lead pastor never even, at that time, never reached out to this church. So God has just been doing supernatural things in my life that you can't. It's nothing short of a miracle in the way He works. And so I just, at that moment, I just surrendered, and I said, okay, if you want me to be a lead pastor, I'll be a lead pastor, and that's where I'm at today. So it was kind of probably a five-year process of me going back and forth with God, but God, I'm doing such a great ministry here, and He says, yeah, you're doing a great ministry, but this is what I want you to do. So it just comes down to obedience and surrender, and life today, I mean, I love that time of ministry, ministering to people that were couldn't get a job. So I actually sold the business to a Christian, a man that's still doing the same thing that I was doing. So God just, for the season, it worked, but this is where He wanted me today. So now I'm on your show.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they have questions of their own for our guest, Pastor Ryan Glesman. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Perhaps you are personally struggling with the sin of homosexuality and you obviously don't want to identify yourself. That is quite acceptable to remain anonymous for that reason, or other personal and private reasons, but please, if it's just a general question, give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. So, obviously, you have been thrust into media attention because you are the brother of the man that identifies himself as the husband of Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, running for president as an openly homosexual presidential candidate. First of all, when in your life, and also let us know whether it was before or after your own conversion to Christianity, did you first realize that your brother either was practicing homosexuality or was drawn into that or had that inclination or proclivity or interest or desire?
Yeah, I was not a Christian when he had come out to the family. I believe he was 18 years old at the time. There were some tendencies leading up to that, just with the crowds of people he's hanging out, the marches he would go to. So when he came out and to officially, I guess you can say that he was come out of the closet, I guess would be the term that they use today. But I think he was around 18 years old. I wasn't a Christian at the time. My response at the time, was honestly not much different than it is today, to be honest. I mean, hold that thought for a second, because some people might be really, what do you mean your thought isn't different? What I mean by that, he said he was gay. I saw those, the style, his lifestyle that he was, you know, kind of living at that time, and he said, I have to do this for myself, I'm gay. And at that time, not being a follower of Jesus, we were like, okay, you know, it was no big surprise. We didn't really treat him any different. You know, in many ways, the majority of my family embraced him probably even more. There was never this, you know, kind of kicking out of the house kind of mentality or nothing like that. And now, since being a follower of Jesus, what I mean by my response really isn't much different is, okay, he is saying he's gay. He needs to meet Jesus Christ personally. So, again, I'm not pushing my brother away. I'm sharing, I'm standing on the truth of what Scripture says, because God is a loving God that loves us so dearly. He gave us his word because he loves us. So I love my brother. I love all gay people exactly the same way. And that's exactly why I share the good news of Jesus to my brother and to the whole homosexual community. So to answer your question, when he came out, I believe he was 18, but there really was nothing surprising about it. We just kind of looked at him like, okay, and we moved forward from there. And still to this day, okay, you're identifying as gay, but Jesus loves you. I love you. And that's why I share the good news with him.
And when did you first realize, and how did you first become knowledgeable of the fact that he had a relationship, a sinful relationship, with Pete Buttigieg? Was Pete Buttigieg already the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, or is this something that happened before Pete Buttigieg entered into politics? Just basically what approximate time in not only his life but in your life did you discover this?
Yeah, well, obviously Chasten, since the time he had come out, Chasten's my brother, and since he had come out gay, he had many different partners. I mean, Pete wasn't the very first person he ever brought home that was the same sex as my brother. And when he met Pete, yes, he was the mayor of South Bend, but again, I didn't view that any differently, because no matter your popularity, God's word still is his word on relationships and marriage. So I really didn't view it any different from his previous partners before Pete, or even after Pete, and even after they got married. Because that question actually comes to me quite a bit in email form, families that are kind of going through a similar situation where you have a family member who's standing on the truth of God's word, but then a family member happens to come out and say they're gay, and how do we articulate this? And a lot of people ask me about that, like, is it different with him being married to now a presidential candidate? No, he's a human being. You know, I think popularity and the media try to draw more attention to a certain people. It almost feels like, well, maybe we should milk down the gospel more because he's a popular figure. No, he's still a person. He's a human being created in the image of God who needs to understand the gospel. And that's the way I view it today. It doesn't matter on your popularity. It's still God's word. It gets applied to all creation, no matter your status. So that's how I come to the understanding. Yes, he let the family know. I think he was pretty excited to share that, hey, my new boyfriend is a mayor of a town, but I didn't really fall into that at all. It's okay, he's a mayor, you need Jesus. And that's still my approach, if that makes any sense.
Now, a lot of people, not just those involved with homosexuality, but those who are clinging to the idol of their sin, no matter what it is, it could be drunkenness, it could be drug addiction, it could be a lot of different things. And by saying this, I'm not saying that all sin is exactly equal. I'm not saying that either. But people, when they are confronted with a Christian who is letting them know what you are doing is going to send you to hell. You need to be covered by the blood of Christ. You need the forgiveness of Christ. Only Christ and his death on Calvary can bring you into a position that is in right standing with God. You need to repent of this and abandon it and renounce it. And so whatever the sin is, people typically will take that, even if it is said with the most compassionate tone of voice a Christian can muster, even if it is said with tears in the person's eyes, very often, not all the time, but very often this is viewed as hate speech. This is viewed as something that is merely self-righteous hostility. You could go on and on with the descriptions and on how those that are in a defense mode of their idol, the idol of their sin, go through. Now, has your brother basically come to view you as his enemy, as someone who thinks that you are innately superior and that that your motives come from hate, or does he view you as your erring but loving brother who just wants him to do something that he disagrees with?
No, I think your first response, the way you explained that, is correct. That this comes across as better than you think you're perfect. And you're exactly right. That's what happens in today's culture, because we're living in a time period where everyone's opinion's right. I mean, right? That's what we're living in.
Except for ours, except for conservative evangelicals.
Exactly. We are the most tolerant, loving, compassionate people on the face of the planet, because we're God's people. So, but yes, that's exactly where he's at. And he's actually told me, he says, you just don't view me as a human being. And I'm constantly, so I kind of explain it this way. I explain it to him, and he kind of understood it better when I would explain it to him. And you can use many different analogies, and maybe maybe you've heard it, maybe people listening have heard this analogy, but, you know, I kind of use this burning building kind of analogy. If we really care for people and we love people, and just say you're walking down the street and there is a home on fire and you can see people inside that need to be rescued, how loving would it be, or how caring or compassionate would it be if you just walked by and said, I really hope that works out for them. I really hope they can get out of that burning home. I mean, right? And that's the same way we're doing as Christians. And the people have to face it. It's God's word. It's not my opinion. This is not my opinion. And you're right. It doesn't matter how compassionate I can do it. Some people do it very wrong. I mean, some people do come across in a non-Christian way. And I explained it to him, and I said, you know, Justin, I love you, I care, but I'd share this to anyone, and hopefully people are listening that maybe caught up in the sin, and it would just be, the reason we share the good news of Jesus is because it's good news. It is good news. It's like me walking by that home and calling 911, but not just calling 911, but busting out the windows, opening the door, getting people out of the fire and saving and rescuing them. Now, I don't do the rescuing, I don't do the saving, that's what Jesus did on Calvary, like you had mentioned. But I'm introducing you to the one who can change your life. So how loving would it be for me as his, not just his blood brother, but just as a fellow human being, how well would it be for me to say I love all people, care for all people, and never share the truth of the Christ with them? You know, when I go to the doctor and say I have a really, really terrible cancer, a really bad illness, and the doctor's so compassionate, he says, I love him so much, I'm just not going to tell him the truth because it's going to break his heart.
And some doctors tell their family, the family of the patient, not to tell them.
Right. I don't want that doctor.
Right.
I don't want that doctor. And what I'm getting at is we love people, we care for people. That's why we share the truth of Christ. Now, when I was very much caught up in sin with the drinking and the partying and doing that, I had to come to understanding that it was sin, it was wrong, the way I viewed women was completely unbiblical, and I had to repent from that, which repentance means to turn. It's not just saying, God, I'm sorry, it's to turn away. And that's what we're not telling people to repent because you're going to hell. We're saying we repent because we love you. You know, every time Jesus had judgment from the Old Testament to the New Testament, he always offered a way out. Every single time he gave warning, he offered a way out, And then when people are still turn away from it, that's what he instilled to this day. Jesus is the only way to cleanse us from our sins. He's the only way to salvation. And that's just plain and simple. We have to understand that it's God's word. So we need to return, repent and turn to him.
Amen. And
that's why,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's just why I share. I know it's a long, drawn-out answer, but I'm glad we have the time to do this because I want people to understand that, yes, it doesn't matter how compassionate we say, but we are sharing the love of Christ because we truly love people, as a doctor would tell you the truth. We're not sharing the truth.
I don't know if you've ever seen the video, and if you haven't, I urge you to watch it. The video with Penn Jillette. Do you know who Penn Jillette is?
I do, but I'm not recalling the video.
Penn Jillette, he is the world-renowned magician who really exposes how tricks are done. He and his silent partner, whose name escapes me right now, who doesn't say anything on the stage, and Penn does all the... Teller, that's right. His silent partner is Teller, his magician partner. But Penn Jillette is an atheist. And he's a devout atheist, a very militant atheist. But he has a YouTube video. As soon as the show is over, I would urge you to watch it, look it up on YouTube. It's easily found. And in fact, even share it with your brother. He was presented a Bible. A Bible was presented to him, I should say, by a fan of his after one of his... acts. Perhaps it was in Vegas. I can't remember exactly where. But the man said, basically, I am a huge fan of yours, and I really admire your talent, and I want you to have this Bible because I'm a Christian, and I believe that your salvation depends upon your embracing Christ, and your entering into heaven for eternity is all hinged upon whether you repent and trust in Christ. And I don't say this out of arrogance or self-righteousness. I say it because that's what I truly believe, and I really care about you. And Penn Jillette, even though he's an atheist, he admired this man greatly, and he said, how much do you have to hate someone to believe that they need Christ in order to enter into heaven for eternity and not tell them that?
Right.
He recognized that this was an act of love, whereas many people, many people who react as if you are spewing hate speech upon them, they may not really believe that. I believe that very often that's just a defense mechanism to shift the attention away from their own refusal to let go of an idol that they know is wrong. In fact, from Romans 1, we know that your brother and every homosexual and every sinner that is clinging onto an idol all the way through the gates of hell, they know that that's sin, no matter what they may tell you. Romans 1 is clear about that. But I think that you should share that with your brother, and perhaps he'll share it with Pete Buttigieg, and who knows, maybe the Lord will do a miracle with that even. But, so what is your relationship as a brother like today, with the tension that must exist between him knowing that you believe that unless he repents, he will tragically be in hell along with Pete Buttigieg if he does not repent, and especially since he is in the limelight with Pete Buttigieg while Pete is running for president, and you have been thrust into the media limelight where people are interviewing you, such as myself, and people like Tucker Carlson and others. What is the relationship like?
The relationship, I mean, I'll just put it bluntly, it's broken, but Jesus is all about redemption, right? So that's what I pray, that's what I send, that's what the emails I send him, the private messages. It's a one-way street right now. I send texts, I send emails, I don't give up, I call. I wrote, Pete, a very nice email. I didn't get any response from him. I wrote him a nice email as he was going on the campaign, just praying for him and sharing a lot about what we're talking about today, you know, just how I truly love people and I love you guys and I want the best for you, and that's why I'm sharing the truth of that. And if I have the time, I'd like to share a real neat testimony of, I have another brother, my middle brother, And he doesn't mind me sharing. We talk very often, but I have a middle brother named Dustin. And I'm just going to share, because it kind of fuels why I keep sharing with them.
In fact, if you could bring up this story right after we come back from our first break, because we have to go to our first station break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and don't forget about Dustin's story that you want to tell. If anybody else wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Those of you who have already written in questions, I hope you'll be patient, and we'll get to as many of you as possible, as long as the Lord will allow and time will permit. So hang in there, and we'll be with you to respond to your questions as soon as possible. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Ryan Glesman after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-4000. 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Ryan Glesman, and Ryan is the pastor of the Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan, and he is also the brother of the man who claims to be the husband of Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who is running for president of the United States, is an openly homosexual candidate. And when I say that our guest's brother claims to be Pete Buttigieg's husband, it's just because as a Christian, I refuse to call him that, because by the true definition of marriage, he's not the husband of our guest's brother. And my guest is not the brother-in-law of Pete Buttigieg in the eyes of Christ, and therefore that's why I'm using the language that I am using. If anybody would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We are discussing the false Christianity of Pete Buttigieg, the charade of claiming Christ as your own while celebrating things Christ hates. And before the break, Pastor Glesman, you were just about to tell a story about your other brother, Dustin.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about this communication with my brother, Chastin. You kind of asked about how's that communication, and it's broken. I still send text, I send emails, send very nice letters and emails to Pete. And the reason I keep doing that is because I want to share a really neat testimony to the power of God. And my middle brother, Dustin, he's completely okay with me sharing. He's given me full privilege to share this account that we've had together. But my middle brother at a time was very angry with me, thought I was just, I joined a cult, all the verbiage that we hear. I can't believe you believe that false God. You've been brainwashed, because he had saw this radical transformation, and throughout all this time just really said some very, very nasty words to me. And through all of that, I continued, as I do with my brother Chastin and with Pete and all people, many, many people. I'm constantly sending encouraging gospel messages, but I continued just to share the truth with him. He wanted to know the scientific evidence, and he wanted to know the proof that the Bible is actually real, which we have more proof than any other artifact we have today. I just kept sharing Christ with him and the goodness, and he was in kind of a time. And through all of that, I had the opportunity to lead my brother Dustin to the Lord a year ago, probably just within the last month, a year ago, came up on his anniversary. Radical transformation, completely gave his life to the Lord, and he's radically transformed. And today he's constantly sending me messages that he was able to share his faith with people on the job site. He saw this absolutely radical transformation, and that's the power of God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we continue to share, not just because he's my brother. I mean, obviously, well, he's my my blood brother, but he's my brother in Christ, that he will see heaven one day with the Father, that Jesus will look at him and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because he repented, because he turned. But if I would have shied away and stopped sharing the word with him, I don't know where he'd be today. We're not going to go down that road. And the reason I share this radical transformation with my middle brother is because that's my prayer. That's the word I stand on when I share the good news, that God's word will not return void. That's what his word says. That's why I keep sharing. It's not this hostility. It's not this I'm better than you. It's Jesus loves you. He's the only way to salvation. Repent and turn to him, and your life will never be the same. And Jesus, even I'll even take it further. I love to think about heaven. I love to think, but I think about Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give life more abundantly, or whatever your translation is. You might say to the fullest, but Jesus brings abundant life to earth by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's, again, just another reason we share. That's another reason I reach out to my brother Chasten and share the good news, is because people like my brother who just keep attacking me and attacking me and attacking me. And now look today, we have a beautiful relationship. He's my disciple maker now. I just completely discipling him and pouring into him, and it's fun to watch him and the fruit that just keeps on going and going. So I just thought that was a neat story. I thought I would share it with you.
Now does Dustin have any communication ongoing with Chasten?
No different than myself. We continue. We send messages. We talk back and forth. But no, there's really. It's pretty sad when. Just because we want to share the truth of Christ, that people want to turn us away. It's happened more than just my brother. I would say the majority of my family has done the same thing since my conversion. And that's just the truth, but it comes at a cost. But what Jesus says, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, I'm going to bless them. So it's unfortunate, but we continue to stand on his word. And we just the door is always open, Chris. It's what I tell people all the time. I get this question all the time. Why can't you just talk to your brother? Well, it's a one-way street. He's got to pick up the phone. He's got to respond. But you know what? I'm always here, and I'm always going to be here. So,
amen. We have a listener. I usually only give a first name to a listener when they write in questions, but this happens to be a pastor that I know and would love to promote him and his congregation to those listening. So whenever, typically when I have a pastor write in, I give their full name and the church where they pastor. This happens to be, my friend, Pastor George Jensen of the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. And, he's been a guest on this program and a co-host on this program. Pastor Jensen asks, have you had a chance to discuss your faith and testimony with Pete Buttigieg beyond the email you mentioned where you told him you were praying for him? I guess what he meant is the email to your brother, but have you ever had a chance to evangelize, witness to, give your testimony to Pete Buttigieg, the presidential candidate?
I have not. I have not had a chance to share with him in person again, especially now with being on the campaign trail. Very hard to get a hold of. Phone numbers change, so I would love to. I would love to see that day. I'd love to share, not because it's my testimony, because it's the testimony of Christ. So I welcome that. I'd love to. Just know I have not had that opportunity. But the way media is and the way scheduling, I guess you could say, that's very much my heart. I would love to see that day.
So here's a similar question from RJ in White Plains, New York. Have you ever had a holiday meal with your brother and Pete Buttigieg, and was there any interaction about God and theology and salvation over the dinner table or barbecue?
Oh, absolutely. I am unashamed of the gospel, so the gospel comes up in every conversation. How did that go? Probably as you would suspect that, well, we have our beliefs, you have your beliefs, that's agree to disagree. That's coming from their side, and I'm always encouraging, let's just don't put the Bible into what the Bible says. And, well, I don't want to talk about that at this time. It's personal to me. Those are kind of the responses I get. So, absolutely, everywhere I go, I can be standing in a line, and I'll bring up faith and just share. And those are just seeds we plant. Those are seeds we water. And I believe that's just the way we continue to articulate. So, yes, to answer that question, it's definitely been brought up on many occasions.
When Pete Buttigieg himself was there?
Yes. Yeah, we have been around meals, absolutely. As far as sharing, let's go back to that first question. No, I haven't had a chance to share actually my testimony, but faith does get brought up. My thoughts on things do get brought up on those, yes.
Right. You know, it's interesting that we are accused by those who reject the gospel, who reject the inerrant scriptures, we are accused of being hate mongers, and even if you want to soften that accusation, it would be extremist, we would be intolerant, unloving, uncaring, self-righteous. And I think that one of those things is correct in one area. We should be intolerant about sin and about false teaching and about false practices that send people to hell. We should not tolerate that at all. And tragically, too many people who call themselves evangelicals do tolerate that. But they hurl these things at us, and yet they typically, or very often, are no less militant and no less dogmatic and no less fierce and unwilling to compromise and intolerant about their political agendas, about their views of morality. You have Pete Buttigieg not only hoping and asking that evangelicals would embrace his understanding of Christianity as valid, and not act with intolerance toward him or view him as anything less than Christian. And yet, he spouts a Christianity, quote, that he clearly believes, in fact states, is a superior version of Christianity, in fact, perhaps even the true Christianity, because it's more reflective in his mind of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ teaches and what Jesus Christ commands of us. He will take things, in fact, these would be real things from the scriptures. Obviously, Jesus Christ wants us to care for the poor, the downtrodden, welcome the stranger is something he brings up. But there are specific, definitions of what those things mean in the scriptures. And in fact, even in the old covenant, Israel was indeed to be loving, and was to treat with kindness the stranger in their midst. But at the same time, there were biblical commands about who you are to allow to remain in your midst and who you would not. And in fact, I'm sure Pete Buttigieg would not allow anybody in through the front door of his house. So this is really, it is a smokescreen, in other words, that we who are conservative evangelicals, who are unwaveringly steadfast in our proclamation of what we believe the Bible to teach, the inerrant Bible, it is a smokescreen to say, we're the bad guys, we're the nasty and hateful ones, unloving ones, and yet they're really absolutely no different. They just stand for a different cause. In fact, they are different in a sense, because very often they are just as unloving or more unloving than they claim we are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can go down so many roads here from the scripture he uses, you know, trying to raise minimum wage, saying that the Bible wants minimum wage to be raised. That's what you do with your personal money, to use that scripture. The verse that's just popping to my mind right now is 2 Timothy 4, I believe it's verses 3 through 4. Or it's just, it talks about there's a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching. You know, they're going to have these itchy ears, they're going to teachers to suit their own passions. You know, they're going to turn away from doctrine. And that's exactly what I see with Pete and so many other people, that they want to accumulate for their own passions and desires. It goes right back to the very first sin we ever see, that people want to be their own God. I want to be like God. I want to take the Bible and make it say what I want it to say. And really it boils down to, are we going to take God's word for his word? Are we going to literally look at his word and say, this is what it is. And I would just encourage Pete and all people, because this, what the danger in this is, what for me, and the reason I want to speak out the way I'm doing, is because we have to take this very seriously, that this false gospel, this false doctrine, this distorting God's word is leading people astray. I mean, it is, it's leading people astray, and I take that very seriously. It saddens me. It breaks my heart. So that's what I'm seeing. You know, I've heard Pete say that his relationship with my brothers brought him closer to God. And that's almost a quote for quote word that he said, that what that's saying is, it's saying, God, my plan for my marriage is better than your plan. And I'm going to turn away from what your word says because it feels good to me, so I'm going to live out my life that I want to. But God, I want you for salvation. You know, I want to, you know, I want to be in heaven, he'd probably say. I want that golden ticket to go, but he wants to turn away from God's word. And you get a culture, you get people to buy into this false doctrine. It's damning. It's dangerous. It's leading people astray. You know,
God is the potter and we are the clay, and yet
Amen. All
these false professors like Pete Buttigieg, and I'm assuming your brother, I don't know how religious he claims to be, but many others who are even in the clergy, so-called, who really act as if they are the potter and they are molding God into the image that they want him to be. Of course, they're molding a false God, not the real God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play a clip of Pete Buttigieg speaking on abortion, which really drives home the fact that this is not, or these are not, differences that we can sit around and have pleasant discussions about over lemonade or coffee and just say, hey, let's just live and let live. And, you know, you can believe what you want to believe and let me believe what I want to believe. And we could just have a wonderful friendship. But this is where it gets really gruesome. It gets, I think, satanic. And I don't even think I could come up with adjectives that would be adequate to describe how monstrous this is. Well, here is Pete Buttigieg speaking about late-term abortion.
Now, right now, they hold everybody in line with this one kind of piece of doctrine about abortion, right? Which is obviously a tough issue for a lot of people to think through morally. Then again, you know, there's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. And so even that is something that we can interpret differently. And
I'm pro-choice.
Take up me too.
Oh.
Now, that is breathtakingly horrifying, what he just said. We can just have a little difference of opinion about when life begins, even if it means I believe that a baby can be torn to pieces seconds before its head emerges out of the mother's womb. This is not something that we can disagree over in polite conversation in a common and charitable way where we are viewing each other's opinions as equally valid or anything like that. This is really, it's amazing how someone as intelligent as Pete Buttigieg is, he doesn't come across as some moron. It's amazing how you have to come to the opinion that he either is a deeply mentally disturbed moron or just purely evil. When it comes to believing in something like this and describing it in such a common and composed way, how do you respond? In fact, let me have you respond when we return from our midway break, because this is the longer break that we have in the middle of our show, where Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this longer break because they air their own public service announcements to localize our show to Lake City, Florida, as a requirement of the FCC. And while they air their own public service announcements, we air our globally heard commercials during this break. Please be patient with us as this break is a little bit longer than the normal break. Use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. And that means that they will more likely remain our advertisers which means more likely we will remain on the air for a longer period of time because we depend on the financial support of our advertisers to exist. So please write down the information provided by our advertisers and also write down questions for Ryan Glesman and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, remember, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after this station break with Ryan Glesman, so don't go away.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on post-Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future. and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcmj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time only. That's 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Always remember to tell them you heard about cvbbs.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also remember, we have another advertiser that you heard moments ago, Solid Ground Christian Books, whose website is solid-ground-books.com. That is another advertiser that deals with books, but the difference is Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher, not a distributor of all Christian book publishers' titles, whereas cvbbs.com is a book distributor. It's a warehouse. They carry many publishers' books, not all, because they only sell the books that they believe accurately reflect true Christian teaching, so they are fussy, but they have a wide variety of publishers whose books they sell. So what I suggest you do to make both of my advertisers happy is to go to solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. Make a long list of all the books that you want to order that are published by Solid Ground Christian Books. Then order them at cvbbs.com, because CVBBS carries all of Solid Ground Christian Books' titles. If they don't have something in stock, they'll order it for you. So that way you can kill two birds with one stone. It's a pretty ugly way of saying it, but you make both of our advertisers happy that way, because although they both deal with books, one is a publisher and one is a distributor. Before we return to our discussion with Pastor Ryan Glesman, we have some important announcements to make. First of all, I don't think I did this before, but let me plug the website for my friend Pastor George Jensen, who is the pastor of the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. I really enjoyed worshiping with these folks when my friend Dr. Tony Costa was a guest speaker there for a Bible conference. And Pastor George Jensen is such a joy to share fellowship with. The website is enolacog.com. That's enolacog.com. The Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania, pastored by George Jensen. And now let me announce a couple of very important events that I hope that as many of you as possible attend. Coming up in December, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I will be, God willing, at the Foundations Conference in New York City. What better place during the Christmas season to be than New York City, in my humble opinion? I am thrilled to return there for another conference, and the roster is always phenomenal at the Foundations Conference. It is a conference conducted and orchestrated and hosted by SermonAudio.com, and they are a very finicky bunch, very discerning and very careful who they would put behind a pulpit, so you are rest assured that you are going to hear very biblically rich and theologically sound preaching done by people who have an extraordinary gift for preaching the gospel. And this, by the way, is a conference only for men in ministry leadership. They can only seat less than 200 people at the Foundations Conference, and therefore they restrict attendance to men in ministry leadership. So if you want to join me there, I hope to see you there. The speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. For more details, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, I'm packing up my bags again, and this time I'm heading down south to a really remarkable Bible conference. This will be my fourth year in a row, January 16th through the 18th, 2020. I will be at the G3 Conference. The G3 Conference stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this January, the theme is Worship Matters. And they have an absolutely extraordinary, mind-blowing roster of speakers. Very long roster of speakers, including the aforementioned Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. We have my dear friend since 1995, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Phil Johnson, who is the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. Phil has been interviewed on my show more than any other guest in the history of Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, dating back to 2005. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Derek Thomas, the world-renowned Christian teacher, preacher, and author. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, founder of, or should I say executive director of Founders Ministries. And Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. My friend Costi Hinn, I don't know if he's received his doctorate yet, Costi Hinn, who is the nephew of Benny Hinn, the notorious heretic and charlatan. And Costi does not mind me saying that, because Costi has renounced the word of faith teachings of his youth and is now a Baptist pastor and a cessationist to boot. In Arizona, you heard Dr. James R. White say that Costi is pastoring in California. Well, he has recently accepted a call to join the ministry team of a church in Arizona. So he will be on the roster, and John MacArthur himself is going to be on the roster. One of my most beloved modern-day heroes of the Christian faith. I would go out there to Atlanta, Georgia, even if it was only John MacArthur preaching. I've never been in the same room when he has preached before, so this makes the event even more exciting for me. I have interviewed Dr. MacArthur on this show, and he has written a phenomenal commendation for this show, which you can see on our website, ironsharpensironradio.com. But I've never met him in person, and I've never been in the same room when he's preaching, so there are many more on the roster as well. So if you want to join me at the Georgia International Convention Center from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, that's in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I strongly urge you, if you have a business, an event you want to promote, a parachurch organization, something that you want to promote to a very large group of people in the body of Christ, well, I would strongly urge you not only to register as an attendee at the G3 conference, but do what I do every year. Register for an exhibitor's booth. Man an exhibitor's booth for whatever it is you want to promote to the body of Christ, because they have every year over 5,000 people come to this event. And with John MacArthur there, I strongly believe, I'm very confident they'll have over 6,000 people there. And they run out of room for exhibitors' booths a lot more quickly than they will run out of room for attendees. So, if you want to attend, or should I say, and if you want to also have an exhibitors' booth, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Please, as always, tell the folks at the G3 Conference that you heard about them and their event from Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love the fact that we have guests and topics on this program that very often are never heard anywhere else, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, well, please, if you love this show and you have extra money, please help us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're struggling to make ends meet. Never do that. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and your home. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money lying around collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational purposes, for ice cream and coffee, you have all kinds of trivial things that you have extra money to spend on, then please carve out a chunk of that and give it to us so that we can stick around, so that we can remain on the air. That is, if you love the show. If you don't love the show, I'm not sure why you're listening. But if you love the show, please help us out if you can. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We sure could use your advertising dollars. And that is, we will only permit you to advertise if you're promoting something that is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me to advertise, but you need to be promoting something that is compatible with what I believe. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. You need to obey God and rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you find a church, God willing, if you need one or if you need help to find one. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church home" in the subject line. I've already helped a number of people in our audience find church homes where they have joined. Sometimes it's a church that they need when they're going on vacation. Sometimes it's a church that they want to recommend to their family, friends, or loved ones. I have helped a number of people all over the world find these churches, and I can help you too, God willing. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Pastor Ryan Glesman. And for those of you who just tuned us in, Pastor Ryan Glesman is the pastor of the Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan. And he is the brother of the so-called husband of Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who is running for president as an openly homosexual candidate. And if you have questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. Pastor Ryan, before we go to any more listener questions, if you could respond to what I was saying before about how dangerous and how evil and damning and even monstrous it is to treat the life of an unborn baby with such a common, relaxed, trivial attitude where he is, Pete is twisting scripture by saying that since the Bible teaches in some places that life begins at breath, he was inferring that we should be able to terminate the life, or should I say, stop the life in his mind. we would call it murder and end the life, but he would consider it stopping the life from beginning of a baby, even moments, even seconds before it's born. So if you could just respond to that.
Yeah, I've heard that clip so many times, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to respond to that again. But Pete's words are demonstrating that he's turning from the Word of God. I don't know how you cannot open your Word and just start in Genesis 1:26-27, where it talks about made in the image of God. You know, we all know the verse Jeremiah 1:5 that he knew us before our mother's womb. You know, you get to Exodus 21, where it talks, you know, I think it's in verse 22 through like 25-ish, you know, where a man actually hits a pregnant woman and it's life for life. Like God views life, as complete intrinsic value. And for Pete to go, and say these things that the Bible talks about breath, well, he needs to understand the scripture that yes, Adam was born from breath. God breathed everything into creation as we know it today, procreation that time. And it continues to prove this rhetoric of turning from God's word, distorting the word. He's publicly contradicting God in public, and it is as damning. I don't know how anyone can hear that and not just have this deep state of lament and sadness for God's creation, that and this frustration. And there's just this righteous anger that builds up, that people are using scripture to make it seem like it's okay to abort a child, to murder a child. That's the correct terminology, is murdering. I mean, for every successful abortion, a life is taken. I don't know, you know, they want to redo these phrases to say health care. That doesn't seem like a very good health care plan to me. And then to use the Bible to say it's okay.
Nothing infuriates me more as when not only Pete Buttigieg, but many, if not most, leftists, and I try to remember not to use the term liberal, because the vast majority of those folks running for office and in the public limelight are not liberal, they're totalitarian leftists.
Right.
Liberals believe that people of all spectrums of understanding and belief should have a shared seat in the public square where these things can be openly discussed and so on. The leftists, they don't even want debates anymore. They don't want anybody having a different opinion on college campuses. They want to shut these things down. But it makes my skin crawl to hear the murder of an unborn baby, or even the murder of a baby that has been, quote, accidentally born during an abortion procedure where it's just set aside and kept comfortable till it dies of natural causes, how that is considered health care. We want to make sure that women have access to health care. They always use different words to pretty up the satanic and grotesque activity that they are promoting and in some cases involved in themselves. I can't help but use terms as vivid as grotesque and monstrous, because that's what it is. I think that we are treading in dangerous territory when we tiptoe around these things and act as if these are acceptable differences of opinion that we can have with our friends and neighbors.
Absolutely. I mean, it comes, and it's not just the abortion. That's a huge, I am with you, that is infuriating. The people are using scripture, but it's the same thing with homosexuality, drunkenness. I mean, do we love God's word? Do we take God's word at face value? And I understand that there's some things in scripture we can have a little bit of different opinion, but these are issues that are very concrete. The Bible is very clear on what God's word says on a marriage between a man and a woman, a married man and a woman. The Bible is very clear on the life of a human life that God fearfully and wonderfully created us in His image. He knew us before the mother's womb. I mean, there's verse after verse after verse, and it comes down to, are people going to look at God's word and believe God's word, or are you going to distort it? And that's anti-God. That's anti-Christ. And that's what you're seeing. That's why it's demonic. That's why it's anti-God in these views, because they are turning from God's word to take their own desires and pleasures. And that's what we're seeing greatly in the world today. And that's why it's so much more. I'm encouraging, if you truly are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if we're going to be silent on that, then you're basically speaking. If you're going to be silent, that's louder than speaking by your silence. And we're just not going to be silent. The gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. That's His people. And we're to stand up and to share His word the way we're doing this evening.
Amen. And one of the things that Pete Buttigieg brought up in the clip that we aired, his apparent disdain for evangelicals, conservatives being one-issue voters when it comes to the pro-life issue. It's kind of interesting how I hear that very often. In fact, years ago on my old Iron Sharpens Iron radio program broadcasting out of New York, there was a local pastor who's an African-American pastor and a friend of mine who was very upset that I aired a program opposing Barack Obama and his presidency after he won the election. He thought that this should have been a time of healing and that I had it was just very unloving and un-Christian of me in his mind to have this program that only festered divisiveness, excuse me, and I thought it was odd that he thought I was promoting a divisive attitude when my guest was an African-American who was pro-life and we were showing how we had that commonality in the bonds of Christ to be very much in support in a militant fashion to rescue the unborn from murder. But he was very opposed to me having this program with the founder of blackgenocide.org, which is the black brother I just mentioned, who's a minister in New Jersey, who is on a crusade to get the black community at large to see how they are promoting and accepting infanticide when they vote for the leftists running for office constantly. And so I had him, I invited my friend, this minister, on the show to speak his case. He brought another liberal minister with him, a man that was even much more far to the left than he was. And he kept bringing up that same thing. Is one thing that really irritates me about conservative evangelicals is that they tend to be one-issue voters. It's abortion, and they ignore everything else. Well, number one, that's not even true. But number two, I said, everyone has an issue that will make their decision on whether or not to vote for somebody stand or fall. I said, if there was a candidate for president or perhaps governor or mayor or what have you, where you were in a jurisdiction to vote for that person or not, I said, if there was a candidate who agreed with you on every position you could think of, whether it be all kinds of welfare issues and immigration issues and minimum wage issues, and you could go on and on, and if that person agreed with you on everything but was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, would you vote for him? And he said, absolutely not. I said, why not? Well, he's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. I said, yeah, but is that just your one issue that's making you decide your vote? And it's, in fact, as monstrous and as evil as bigotry is, I'm sorry, it's not as evil as ripping babies apart. It's, you know, somebody's stupid, moronic, and evil understanding of their superiority because of the lightness or darkness of their skin, as horrible as that is not equivalent to somebody ripping a baby apart while it's still alive in their mother's womb.
Amen. I agree.
And he had no answer. And he just kept saying, but he's in the Klan. I can't vote for him as if he's in the Klan. I'm like, yeah, that's one issue. But we have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who has a question, and he asks, how do you convey to those opposing you on your beliefs that stem from the inerrant words of God that you are not spewing hate speech, but actually just being compassionate and wanting what is best for them because that is what God teaches?
Good question. Sometimes we can say the most, we kind of covered that in the beginning. I think of 1 Peter 3:15, one of my favorite verses, how we're to articulate scripture. I'm paraphrasing here, but we're supposed to honor the Lord, to do it in gentleness and respect. The best way I could do to answer that question is to be exactly that, that 1 Peter 3:15 says we're to articulate the word in gentleness and respect. I can disagree with somebody and respect them. And to really stand on the understanding is I don't change anyone. The Holy Spirit, the power of God changes people. I like to say it this way. I put them on the first date. I set up that first date with Christ. I'm to always be ready in season, out of season, to articulate the truth, the gospel that I believe in. So I think we always have to go into someone that disagrees with us, not in a hostile way, to understand where they're coming from. You know, I know we're talking about homosexuality, and there's so many sin. I mean, all sin is sin, and we're kind of covering that. But, you know, when I think of, like, the homosexual, the LGBT community, you know, the goal isn't to get gay people straight. The goal is to get dead people alive. And Amen. All people are dead in their sins. So when I'm viewing people that disagree with me, that's the goal, is for them to come alive, to... I tell people all the time in our church and all throughout the community is, when we share the good news, share it like it's good news, because it is good news. And sometimes people share it like it's a burdensome. There's these rules and these regulations. And yes, there is a guideline. Yes, we have the scripture. But so that's how I'd answer that question, to say, respect them, number one. You're never going to argue your way to someone into salvation. Stand firm on what you believe. Know what you believe. It's frustrating sometimes when I hear Christians try to share. They don't even know what they believe. You know, they don't know what they're saying. They're just believing because somebody told them. Like, and that's really, really important to really understand, to really wrestle with. What does God's word say about homosexuality? What does it say about abortion? What does it say about so many different issues? What does it say about drunkenness and orgies? And, I mean, we can go on and on and on. Know what the word says. Know what you believe. And respect people. I mean, truly respect them. Love people. If you really, if you're looking in the eyes, you'll never look in the eyes of someone that Jesus doesn't love. You'll never look in the eyes of someone Jesus doesn't love. And so that helps me when somebody's in disagreement. I love them. I care for them. I hear them. Listen. Be slow to speak. Quick to listen. You know, it sounds like a verse to me. And we know these verses in Scripture. So that's a great question. Share the good news and respect them. Honor them. Doesn't mean that we're conforming to their beliefs just because we're respecting them. And, you know, ask questions. Questions are gifts from God constantly. If someone disagrees with us, well, how do you come to that conclusion? Say we're talking with a pro-choice person that just believes that women should have a choice to murder a child. Say, well, how do you come to that conclusion? That's just one example. You know, well, how do you come to that understanding? Ask questions, respect them, see where they're coming from, and then share the truth of God.
Amen. Unless somebody misunderstand what you mean by respect them, because there is a way that I think that that could be wrongly pursued and acted upon. I don't think, I mean, we would all agree that there's got to be somebody that if we were sitting across from the room, sitting across the room from and you're having a conversation with them, how do you respect the neo-Nazi in the room with you? How do you respect Charles Manson if you were having, if he was still alive and having an interview with him? Or an unrepentant serial killer. I think there may be a difference in terminology that could be used because you can treat someone like a human being and refrain from violence, refrain from unnecessary ad hominem and so on, and just be clear and truthful and blunt about how dangerously wrong they are, but that doesn't always necessarily involve respect. So I don't know if I'm being too much of a nitpicker, but
no.
I just know that that word has been abused frequently. Respect.
Yeah, we don't change our convictions by God's word. So if we're a serial killer, you know, we're going to be very open that we're greatly in disagreement there. But again, what I mean by you know, I'm not going to an act of violence on someone because they're murdering, because what good is that doing? So what I mean by respecting others is I'm not going to hold them at arm's length. I'm not going to be in the same room as them. I'm going to go up to them. I'm going to share the good news with you. Because I think Christ cares where we're going. He wants us to repent. He wants to call us into repentance, because there's no life without repentance. There's no salvation without repentance. It is what I believe. You know, repentance leads to life. So we have to repent and turn away. So to use those kind of examples you're saying is to speak with someone, stand on God's word. We share, we're bold in our faith. It doesn't mean that we say, oh, yeah, I can kind of see your opinion that, you know, serial killing is okay. No, that is wrong. You know, and you need to repent. That's completely wrong. But I do believe, and there's consequences for that. I'd have to imagine, you know, the Forgotten Men Ministries, a phenomenal ministry we're involved in, where we go, people that are going to pay a life sentence for taking one's life. They're paying that life sentence. Their sentences here on earth. But there's also salvation and redemption for all people can be redeemed. So that's what I mean by this respect of people. It doesn't mean, sometimes I'll say inclusion without conformity, where I'll include people into the conversation. I'm not conforming to your beliefs and ideology. I strongly am against it, but I will listen to you. I'm going to give you the time of day. I'm going to hear your plea, but I'm going to stand on the word of God. If that makes any sense?
Yes, yes. I have orchestrated many theological debates in public, moderated collegiate debates, and although there have been people, even practicing homosexuals who are self-proclaiming pastors, even though I believe that the beliefs of these individuals are evil and are sending people to hell. When I'm conducting a debate, a requirement is that there be civility during the debate, that we not use ad hominem, and we not just in viciousness mock the opponent, that their time is not interrupted, and all these kinds of things that are basic tenets of civil speech and interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, love is the most powerful motivation, the love of Christ, that you want that person to be rescued from their evil beliefs or activities. Before we go to our final break, I'm going to play a clip of Drew Brees, the NFL great, renowned quarterback who got himself into trouble with the LGBTQ community, so-called. Recently, he was involved in a public service announcement where he was encouraging kids, Christian kids, to bring their Bibles to school, for Bring Your Bible to School Day, to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to their classmates and friends. And when the LGBTQ folks heard this, especially because they caught wind of this Bring Your Bible to School Day having some connection with Focus on the Family, which many in the leftist totalitarian wing of politics view as nothing more than a hate group, they brought the hammer down on Drew Brees, and something frightened him enough to make an apology. After that, I'm going to play that apology, and I want you to respond to it when we come back to from the final break. But here's the apology. Whoops, I didn't turn up the volume on here. While I do this, I want to remind you folks that our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I don't know why this volume is... I've got to do it again. chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give
us a very negative headline that I think led people to believe that somehow I was aligned with an organization that was anti-LGBTQ and so on and so forth. I'd like to set the record straight. I live by two very simple Christian fundamentals, and that is love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think the first one is very self-explanatory. The second one, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean to me? That means love all, respect all, and accept all. So that is actually how I live my life. That is what I try to do with my family, with my teammates, with people in my community, with my friends, all people, no matter your race, your color, your religious preference, your sexual orientation, your political beliefs, it doesn't matter. So the fact that these rumors have been spread about me are completely untrue. What I did was I filmed a video recently that was encouraging kids to bring their Bibles to school for National Bring Your Bible to School Day. To bring your Bibles to school, to be able to live out your faith with confidence, and I even gave one of my favorite Bible verses. It was as simple as that. So I'm not sure why the negativity spread or why people tried to rope me into certain negativity. I do not support any groups that discriminate or that have their own agendas that are trying to promote inequality, okay? So hopefully that has set the record straight and we can all move on, because that's not what I stand for. Have a great day.
Well, we're going to be back after this final commercial break and to get our guest Brian Glesman's reaction to Drew Brees' apology to the LGBTQ so-called community. And you can also submit your questions, and we're running out of time, so if you have a question, please do so as quickly as possible. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Brian Glesman after these messages.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike, who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and I just want to remind you to keep praying for my dear friend Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder and president of First Love Radio, which live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. He's also the founder and president of First Love Missions and First Love Publications, a ministry that gives away for free every single thing that they publish and bring into print, including not only great works of the past, but phenomenal works by current day pastors and Christian authors. But as many of you know, Joe Jackowitz was recently diagnosed with a very aggressive and deadly form of leukemia, and he was given the scary prognosis of having a 40 to 60% chance of survival. Well, if you've been listening regularly, you know that we have the wonderful news that Joe is home 2 weeks earlier than expected during his cancer treatments. His chemo and radiation, they stopped doing those things and sent him home 2 weeks early because, from all they can tell right now, he is in remission, and the doctor, who is an expert, a specialist in his form of leukemia, Joe's form of leukemia, is astonished. He said in all his years of medicine, he had never seen a recovery that fast. So please continue to pray for Joe Jackowitz, and also continue to pray for his family. Many people who have cancer that goes into remission, unfortunately, the cancer comes back with a vengeance at times. We pray that that does not happen, and that Joe has many more years of life to be a bright shining beacon of the love of Jesus Christ to all he knows and to all who come in contact with him in his ministry. So please keep praying for Joe Jackowitz and his family. We are now in the final moments of our show today with Ryan Glesman. We have been talking about the false Christianity of Pete Buttigieg. Right before the break, I aired that clip of Drew Brees. It was very disturbing to me because Drew was speaking in a very ambiguous way, using words like acceptance and equality and things like discriminate. We do not want to discriminate. And those things are obviously designed to keep conservatives guessing as to what he means, and to as an appeasement to those who are homosexuals, because he wasn't clear about whether he believed in the biblical prohibitions and warnings of that damning activity. In fact, the Bible he claims to love so much that he created a public service announcement encouraging kids to bring that Bible to school, that same Bible, very clearly and unambiguously, in undebatable form, teaches that if a man lies down with a man or a woman with a woman, that is an abomination, it's unnatural, and it's damnable. So I think that Drew Brees did a disservice to those involved in homosexuality because he was softening or even removing any warning about their sin. And he also did a disservice to his own brothers and sisters in Christ with focus on the family, because he was acting like they were more of a dangerous concept than, even though he didn't mention them by name, it was clear who he was speaking about. He was distancing himself from them while giving an impression that he finds no fault with those involved with homosexuality. So I lament over this. I'm very saddened by this, but if you want to say a few words about it yourself.
Yeah, I would just say amen. I agree with you. I mean, you very much quoted Romans 1:26-28. And I get it. I kind of had this happen to me. I was asked by the Washington Post months ago about my view on homosexuality with my brother, and I said, I stand on the biblical teachings, the New Testament teachings, the Old Testament teachings of marriage between a married man and a married woman. You can imagine the hate speech that came from me, and I still to this day I stand at. What I would just say, obviously I don't talk to Drew, but it did. It was a disservice, and I would just say, Drew, stand on your word. You said you were encouraging children to bring their Bibles to stand boldly. I don't remember the exact terminology he used, but to encourage kids that we don't have to be ashamed of the good news. Well, stand on that. You know, stand on that. We don't change. We don't water down God's word to be appealing to the world. We are in the world, but we are transformed. We're born again. We're not of this world. We are to be different. We're holy, which means to be set apart. So stand on that, Drew. Stand on that. All Christians that are listening, stand on God's truth and share it boldly. I still get all the hate mail today, and I still have the same answer today, that marriage between a man and a woman. And you know what? It really doesn't come down, Chris, to your opinion, my opinion, anyone's opinion. It's God's word. You know, this is what God's word says. It's not this opinion where some think gay, right, a marriage is wrong, and some people think it's okay. Some think love is love. No, this is what God's word says. It's not my opinion. This is
right.
God's word. So that's the only statement I would add to that.
Yeah, you reminded me of an old saying that has one serious flaw in it. The old saying is, the Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, it's the Bible said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change whether or not it's true. We do not determine what truth is, as you just said, the scriptures do. Well, it has been a really great privilege to have you on today. I look forward to having you back on the program. I want to make sure I remind our listeners about the website for Community Church of God in Clio, Michigan. It is the CLIOCommunity.org, CLIOCommunity.org, and Clio is spelled CLIO.org. And do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
If people want to follow on Twitter, I use social media to share the good news. You can find me on Facebook, or my Twitter is at Ryan Glesman, R-H-Y-A-N. Glesman, people want to follow, and that's just let's join arms together and continue to share the good news of Jesus. And Chris, it's a privilege to be on here. It's an honor, and I just say thank you so much, and may God richly bless your ministry continually.
I really appreciate that very much. And please, folks, those of you who love and follow our Lord Jesus Christ, please pray for Ryan that many more opportunities arise for him to share the gospel with his brother and Pete Buttigieg. Well, I want to thank you for being my guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.